Hello, this is Janet Meshuggah Watson for Voice of the Last Days Ministry, and this is your wake-up call. The Lord is doing a great thing in the earth. Well, do you ever feel like that you're fighting in a battle? Sometimes you even feel like you're fighting a losing battle. Well, I have good news for you. The Lord has given us a way to win. We've already won through Jesus Christ. But a way to walk in that victory. And it does not involve using what the world uses in terms of their fighting and strategy. I want to start with a story that will help you to understand and give you some related scriptures. 1 Samuel, let's begin in 17, verse 38. Now, the background of this story is there's a Philistine, which is Goliath, the giant, that is mocking the armies of Israel. When David hears about this, he says, how can you let this heathen mock the armies of the living God? So we know that he decided that he's going to go out to fight Goliath. And Saul, which was king at the time, is going to help him out. Let's pick up the story there in 1 Samuel 17:38. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And you've seen those coats of mail. It's supposed to be impervious to things like arrows and all. It's the metal that's woven and woven and woven very tightly. And then 39, and David girded his sword over his armor. Then he tried to go, but could not, for he was not used to it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I'm not used to them. And David took them off. This is the Amplified version. And in the New King James and King James, it says, I haven't tried these. In other words, I haven't been able to wear them with success to see how they work and how I move. Now let's look at what he does in verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and chose five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag. And that was basically a lunch bag or a provision bag. In his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Now here goes David to face a giant that had mocked the armies of Israel. And instead of taking on the armor of someone else, he takes what he is accustomed to, what he is used to. You know, at some point when he was trying to explain to Saul how he could go out against the giant, he said, I fought when I was looking over the flocks. I fought a bear, I fought a lion, and I can do this as well. Well, what did he fight those with? Just what he took there, his staff. And he was accustomed also to using stones and a slingshot to scare off predators. So he's going out with his weapons, the things that he is accustomed to. Now, why am I putting emphasis here? It just seems like a large portion of the church is now engaged in warfare according to the world's terms. Now, many aren't engaged in any kind of battle because they've completely joined the world and become like them. But there are others that feel like they're fighting, but they're fighting with the same strategies, the same techniques, the same devices as the world uses, and they're a miserable failure. I've mentioned this to some of you before, but a few years ago, I was angry about a situation, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and he said, there you go, now you're operating in the same spirit they're operating. Well, that got my attention. You see, even if you feel like you have a righteous cause, if you're fighting in the same way that the world fights, you've become one of them, and you've basically already lost the battle at that point. Oh no, we have found out in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the word of God says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're not according to the flesh. They're not what the world uses, but mighty in God. In other words, God, these weapons come out of our protection in God, and he is the one that empowers them, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Our weapons come from our relationship with God in Jesus Christ. They are not the devices of the world. They are not the devices of the flesh. They are not armor that doesn't fit. Look at 1 Kings 22:29. Now, this story is an enigma to me because of what Ahab, and if you're not familiar with Ahab, I believe you would be familiar with another name, that's Jezebel. Well, Jezebel was Ahab's wife. Ahab was king of Israel. And he and the king of Judah are going to go into battle against the Syrians and some others. And look what he talks Jehoshaphat into doing. Let's begin with verse 29. So Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel, now this is Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter the battle, but you put on your royal clothing. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. So he talks Jehoshaphat into making clearly evident the fact that he is a king dressed in his royal garb, and yet Ahab is going to disguise himself. Well, he learned from the master. Jezebel was the queen, truly, of deception. So he talks him into doing this, making Jehoshaphat a target, and supposedly Ahab's going to go in there under the radar. And I emphasize supposedly. Verse 31. But the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, fight neither with small nor great, but only with Ahab, king of Israel. He says, in other words, don't engage with anybody else. I have one person I want to take out, and that is Ahab. And when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, now bear in mind he's out there on his chariot with all the royal garb on. I don't know what made him do this. Surely it is the king of Israel. This is what they said to themselves. So they turned to fight against him. But now Jehoshaphat cries out. I'm sure that he cried out saying, wait a minute, you got the wrong guy. And when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. But a certain man drew a bow at a venture. Now, in other words, he just pulls the bow back and shoots it. Just shoots the bow, an arrow. And smote Ahab, the king of Israel, between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and carry me out of the army, for I am wounded. The battle increased that day, and Ahab the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians. And at nightfall he died, and the blood of his wound flowed onto the floor of the chariot. You can run, but you cannot hide. Here Ahab has developed this scheme, I guess, to get Jehoshaphat killed instead of himself. Or maybe Jehoshaphat thought that this was reasonable in that he would be able to talk them out of pursuing him when they saw it wasn't Ahab. But either way, just, it says this bow drawn at a venture. Well, it wasn't a venture. It was the judgment of God in it. And it found the place between the armor. That arrow tip found the place between the armor and went into flesh and killed Ahab. His armor, his devices, his deception, his way of doing things could not hide him from judgment, could not hide him from his enemies round about, because he didn't have the covering of God. Oh, how many more schemes do we have to come up with to try to do this or do that, or get it this one or get it that one, or promote ourselves here or there or whatever? Wearing the armor of the world, wearing the armor of deceit. Isaiah 45:1 explains what happened in the case of Ahab. Now, it's not talking about Ahab in particular, but it's talking about what happens when the anointed of God face the enemies of God. And in Isaiah 45:1, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Now, Cyrus was the king over Persia, and he was used by God to restore the people of God to their place and for them to be able to build a temple and all these things. He was used by God mightily. So thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, and listen to this, and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. Now, isn't this what you want? That you have access by way of the power of God through Jesus Christ? It says he looses the armor of kings. In other words, he can find that place They cannot hide from his judgment. Oh, don't be on the side that's trying to hide from God. Don't be on the side that's using the devices of the world and these very fleshy, carnal ways of doing and being, because judgment will find the soft spot. Luke 11:21, Jesus is making this remark after being questioned about how he rebuked evil spirits out of people. And here he says this: when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. So we have a strong man and he's fully armed so that nobody's going to come against him and take his stuff. But look at verse 22. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overtakes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He goes on to say, who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. In other words, the way he was rebuking the devils and sending them out is a stronger than they had come. Oh, praise God, a stronger than the devil that's in your life has come. A stronger than the torment that's in your life has come. Stronger than the testing and tribulation and crisis that's in your life has come. And when he comes, he will take away the authority of that thing in your life and bring back what's been taken. How? When you submit to him. Ephesians 6:11, let's begin with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How do we do this? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles, what does that mean? He's cunning. He is deceit. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. In other words, the spirit realm. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What evil day? When the devil's trying to come at you. And having done all, to stand. And then it goes on to say, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, above all, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The shield of faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And he says, do all this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, you have to put on all the armor of God that's walking in the Spirit. But it says these things are continued to be empowered by praying, that constant communication with the Father, the one who enables the weapon, the one who enables the power. I have mentioned this also to some of you before. A few years ago, I was wondering, we're told that Solomon, of course, was given the gift of wisdom. Nothing before him could match it. None after him could match it. But yet we know how he ended up in idolatry and a bad end. And I once asked the Lord about that, and he spoke to me, and as far as how he turned out that way, but yet was given this great gift of wisdom. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, when he started being distracted by the idols of all those wives and concubines and all that he brought into his house, he cut off the power source. So he still has this great capability, this great capacity. But the thing that was powering that is now cut off. And then it became a hunger that could not be filled, a desire that could not be met, a curse instead of a blessing. And we know how he turned out. So the gifting of God must be powered by God. I'll say it again. The gifting of God must be powered by God through the Holy Spirit by way of Jesus Christ in you. We're talking about the same thing, Christ in you. That power is the only thing that makes the gifting that you have in you do what it was sent to do. Otherwise, it becomes a curse. And you see people doing terrible things that could have done mighty things for the kingdom of God. What power is it in which you're operating? Are you trying to seek power in the world, some means of escape or resource or answer in the world? Have you cut off your power source, which is God? Are you flailing around? Look at Romans 13:11, and it sums up everything that I've been saying to you. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Okay, this is what the armor is, light. And what does that mean? Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Here it goes. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. What is the armor of light? The Lord Jesus Christ. When he is in us, being manifested in and through us, we are protected. Oh, don't you want to have that armor of light today? Light in darkness can show a long distance. Darkness is falling around. If you ever needed to have that armor of light, it's today. Let's pray about this. Father, I thank you that you have given us weapons that are not of this world, not of this earth, but are of spirit through Jesus Christ, who has already won the battle and whose victory we rest. Lord, help us to walk in that victory by being clothed with the armor of light. Lord, help us to overcome the temptation to resort to the techniques and devices, the tools, the weapons of the world. But help us to walk in light and so be able to stand in the evil day. I thank you that you have already rebuked and exiled the devourer for our sake, so that only your word can be manifested in and through us. It is in Jesus' wonderful name and his authority and under his blood that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, if you're not getting anywhere in terms of your battles, and it seems like that you're being overcome, get rid of all that weight that's upon you as you try to use the devices of the world. And put on armor that is light. I'm praying for you.